cleared the sinuses, off we go. Hello, welcome to The Big Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in technology. We have fantastic people to draw upon, but instead we got these four. and that's a joke, obviously, because these are four fantastic people to sit and talk with us. And live in the studio, we have my best man joining me. Nigel, he was best man at my wedding.
Yeah.
Still is the best man. Love him to bits. Okay. Won't love him much if he rocks the camera anymore, though. joining me then. So here we go. The top four, the brilliant men that will be astounding you with their technology knowledge from the whole week. Starting off, Lee Garrett.
Oh, okay. Hi. How you doing, sir? You okay?
I'm good, pal. You? What have you been up to?
Been working extremely hard, actually, at the moment, in and out of London, up and down from Sunderland as well. I've been staying a couple of nights, but it's been busy, but it's been good. And I'm looking forward to chatting with four other technically brilliant chaps.
Excellent. Are you going out after then? Well then, mate. Now, you've got a really nice stable connection there, because the last time you were on it was shit.
Now we've got an upgrade. That's what happens when you complain. If you stay calm when you're talking to people and relay the facts and explain what you do, it's amazing what you can get. So yeah, I've got a nice upgrade to our fiber connection. So yeah,
good. You've got away from the mice carrying the packets for you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's because I live at the arse end of the country, you see. But no, it's good.
Actually, geographically, it is. Yes, it's the bottom hole.
It is exactly the arse end.
It's the outlet from the Thames. Next to him, our man in Boulder, Jeffrey. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing all. No, and I'm glad that I don't live in the butthole of anything.
Oh, I don't know. I've never been to Boulder. So.
Well, so you'll just have to take my.
They make good gin. I can attest to that fact.
So. Oh boy, howdy.
Yes. Been busy this week? No dental appointment dragging you out, or broken car, or slot on TV?
Amazingly, no. My teeth are intact. My car is working fine. Apparently, there's no big news that TV stations are like, oh, Jeff, come in and talk to us.
Yeah. It's hard life.
Which is good, because I would have felt really bad if I was.
Good lad. That's very good of you. I'm glad you're here, and thanks for your insight. Doc. Where the hell have you been, mate? You've been burning shit with light.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Hot light.
That's been keeping me busy. Actually, I'm this week upgrading my workshop. I bought another space because I needed more space. So I'm in the process of doing what you went through. And it's kind of weird right now because I want to build everything out before I move in. So I got like half the equipment in one spot, half the equipment in another spot, and I'm running back and forth. It's kind of irritating. Once I get it all together, I'll tour you up.
Cool, definitely, mate. Ellie's still bugging me about that bloody TIE fighter.
I haven't had a chance to resize them. I want to resize them so that the material and shipping weight wouldn't be so ridiculous.
So they fit
that
in the post box.
That current MDF one right now, it probably weighs about 20 pounds. and MDF isn't that expensive, but it's as heavy as the blazes and takes about 5 to 8 hours to cut, depending on the design.
Send it surface.
Like Microsoft?
Send it surface, and then it'll be like Forrest Gump, because it'll have gone away across America on road. It'll be awesome. It'll come battered to shit, and it'll have a story behind it. And last but by no means least, Roddy Boy.
Hello, mate.
Thanks for your tweets from Avengers HQ today. The last couple of days.
Yeah, some people can't see it.
Sunrise over Avengers HQ. It was gorgeous, mate. And you could clearly see on the one that you circled it that it was Avengers HQ.
Yeah, no, but I've had better days. I had a torrid time walking home from work tonight. It was horrible.
Why?
You wouldn't.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I was walking through where I work is in a woodland area, should we say.
Yeah.
And I was walking through the woods, and I was walking along. I thought, there's something in my hair. Did that. Put my thumb up. Ah, oh, Jesus Christ. There's a wasp in my hair. Stung me in the thumb.
All right.
And then as I was just, he's stuck in my thumb, I'm flicking him away. I then turned round, fell over, face first, into mud. I had to walk the 3 miles home, absolutely caked in mud, with a bee sting in my bloody thumb.
All right, mate, you win. That's better than anything that's happened to me in the last 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Awesome. You are Mr. Bean.
Yeah, that's quite literally.
Mr. Bean TN.
Oh God.
The week in tech, what's going on, what's been happening? There's not been an awful lot, I don't think, really. My story's pretty cool-ish. So come on, then. Who wants to start us off? Put your link in the chat room. What is the story of the week, you think? I know Lee start us off there with Game of Drones. I know Batwinter's got one that she's been pushing for. What's this then, mate? Combat drones.
All right, okay, yeah, this one's a bit of a backup story. But it's, I don't know, you could call it a cool thing, you could call it a story. But essentially what it is, you remember Robot Wars in the UK?
I do.
Craig Charles and, who was else? Jeremy Clarkson, Sergeant Bash, remember the robot? I think they called it Battle Bots in the States. Well, yep. If you imagine that, but with drones, airborne, bashing the absolute shit out of each other,
All right. That's
what you've got. It's called the Aerial Sports League in America. And what they do is they see drone combat as like a sport. So they do combat, drone racing, and freestyle demos all across the United States. And it was born out of a Kickstarter early last year. And what they do is they have fights in like a 30-foot by 30-foot by 25-foot, I think it is.
It's really done well, isn't it? Kit.
And the rules are quite simple. Each drone starts with 3 points. There's no set number of rounds at all. If a drone hits the ground or it becomes tangled up in the netting, you lose a point. If both drones get grounded after like a mid-air collision, then that's classified as a push and neither competitor loses a point. And once a drone reaches 0 points, then it loses the battle completely. If a drone gets grounded, then each operator has to act as like a pit crew, and they come in with pliers, propellers, zip ties, that sort of thing. And they've got 90 seconds to get the drone back up in the air, ready for the next round. Now, how cool is that? We need that in the UK.
And it's nice because it's done. I mean, there's a lot of bad press about drones being horrifically bad for... for creating mayhem and havoc and down in airplanes and all that kind of stuff. And this is a positive thing.
It's positive, isn't it? There's so much. I mean, you were saying just last week, I think it was, Ewan, about how with the restrictive laws that we've got in the UK just means that, you know, drone deliveries, for example, by Amazon and this and the other, you know, it's all pie in the sky. For want of a better phrase. It's just not, you know, really going to happen. But if you could do something positive like this, it's fantastic. I'd love to be able to see it. But
I've got to say, that's cool. They've got, look at that. That's the, so on the video that we're showing here for the people that are on audio, sorry about that. It's got the Back to the Future car, the DeLorean. It's awesome.
Yeah. Here's, you know, it's a cross between a cool thing and a story, but I just thought it was a really nice sort of positive thing to put out there. And if you've got a spare, you know, grand or whatever it is to enroll in the Aerial Sports League, go nuts. But we need to campaign to have something like that in the UK.
I think that the laws for drones in this country are actually really sensibly done. I don't think there's an issue with them, but an event like that would be really cool. Sorry, Wrighty, you were going to say something there.
Well, it's like Robot Wars for the 21st century in a way, because we used to love that, didn't we?
I love Robot Wars. I was hooked. I was trying to think about all the different robot names that we had earlier. I came up with Sergeant Bash. I think I remember Kilosaurus. Oh, I remember what they called.
I don't know, but Philippa Forrest is back on the telly.
Oh, hey.
Result.
She was my celebrity shag.
Yes. No, she's on the telly last night, and I was saying, it's Philippa Forrest. I need to go back and have 5 minutes of myself.
Has she retained her looks?
I don't know, but I was down at the BBC doing some work years ago, and she was my celebrity shag. So me and Sharon had a celebrity shag each. Nearly came out wrong. No, celebrity shaggies. So it was like, if you get the opportunity with this person, then your pass is stamped. It's okay. There'll be no recriminations from it. So I picked Philippa Forrester, and she's like, what? And then she picks Rupert Everett, and I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, at least yours was doable, wasn't it?
Well, mine was doable because I was spending a week at the BBC the following week.
And?
I was sitting talking to someone at the BBC, Carmella, and hi Carmella, if you're not watching, because you won't be, because I confessed that my celebrity shag was Philippa Forrester, and Philippa Forrester was her best friend. And rather than it being a route to Philippa Forrester, it actually turned out to a huge negative.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's...
There you go.
Excellent.
Philippa Forrester's back on the telly, can't be bad. I thought she was a lovely girl.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Good story, mate. Good story. I mean, if one of these went up, would you pay hard cash to go and watch this? Everyone, I mean, this applies to everyone now. So in your local area, Nigel, if there's one in Scotland, you can have a net go up and you can go and watch battle drones. Would you pay £5 entry to go and watch the £10 entry to go and watch that with the kids?
Not just in my local area. I would travel quite a distance to go and see it because it's just doesn't happen anywhere else. I'd love that.
Yeah, I want to say yes, but my friend Brooklyn is executive editor at Make Magazine, so I'm sure she can score me a set of free tickets.
Oh. Which, that's not the point of the question. Jeez, join the spirit, man, for Christ's sake.
But the point is that, you know, with Twitch and that sort of thing, that gaming is the new sport because people tune in all the time to watch, like, online gaming now, and this is the real-life version of it, and I think that's the new big thing, so I think people would pay money to go and see.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
you know, Paul, one of the things I find is super hilarious is when I often do this just to be a turd, so excuse me, but I have my friends that have their kids, and, you know, a lot of these kids are, like, you know, Ellis's age is slightly older, and the parents are hopping on about how they spend so much time on the tech and playing games and stuff like that and how it's a horrible thing. And then I explain to the parents, no, it's not quite a horrible thing, because in the near future, your kid has a chance to be as rich as Tiger Woods because he's a really epic game player. And what you should be doing is encouraging his gameplay with moderation and then also maybe get him into some of the development side of the art side. Because we're talking an industry that's almost as big as prostitution and drugs when it comes to making money. And then they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, they're pro gamers that pull in, you know, over $10 million a year in fees and endorsements. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, so you want your kid to go work at Walmart, you know, learning how to be a manager. And what you should be doing is getting your kid into some of the league of gaming or, you know, you help them, but you show them the right path and show them the, you know, what can be done and what possibilities are. And it drops their jaws almost every single time. Most of these guys are so clueless as to how big the industry is, their face just drops. I mean, and I tell them, just look at your credit card and how much you spent on it as yourself, and you're trying to stop your kid from doing it. So imagine what happens if you're on the opposite side of that fence, and it blows their mind every time. You get that blank deer, that blank deer look. Like, what?
Maybe. Possibly. Good story, mate. I mean, Jeffrey, would you go and pay to go and see this thing? Take Andrew along for the night out?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd take Angela and bring her son along.
They do the ones with LEDs on and stuff like that, so you could do like a night meet or something. It'd be really cool.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Nige?
Yep.
You'd definitely go?
Yep.
You'd pay? Take the kids?
Yeah, I'd pay. Well, kids. Ewan would go. kids, 21, 20, yeah.
Old.
Let's set up a mock-up cricket net at the Bash next year. Do our own BTM one.
Yeah, we can do that. We can get a net. I'm sure we can get, if you're listening and you've got a 30-foot square net that we can put up at the Bash and do some drone fighting, then there we go. There'll be a prize. Beats the hell out of the card cutting championships.
I have to say, Nigel looks like a proper footy manager back there. He looks like he should be yelling at his wingers to, you know, cover the sides a little bit and push in.
I can't do that way that way because my arm just cuts off. Look, because I go, ah! So, yeah, good story, mate. Right, so who was next? Who did the BlackBerry story?
Me, mate.
So, mate, so tell us more about this, because BlackBerry, you're saying, might be thrown in the towel.
Well, I saw the BlackBerry story, and I kind of thought about it. So John Ten, who's the CEO of BlackBerry, says, if we're not profitable in a year, he's going to can it. He's going to can the hardware business. And it's like, it just came out with an Android phone. So it's a really last-ditch attempt to, trying to salvage any sort of hardware dreams they've had. But then I was thinking back at the last week, Microsoft released two new phones, which Geoffrey Jim in the chat room will say they're amazing. But the tech community really kind of said, yeah, it's all right. But it's got me thinking, like, the smartphone war, the operating system war, is just over, isn't it? You know, Android and Apple have just taken it over. And it made me quite sad, really, because what do you need to do now to be a competitor in the mobile market? Because Google and Apple could just sail along now, just like kind of plodding along and all that sort of thing. Because Samsung are trying with, they've released a Tizen phone this week as well, their own operating system. It's never going to get any kind of market share or anything like that. You know, Windows isn't doing that well. It's all over, isn't it? And it's quite sad that competitive thing has actually gone away.
So what are these new, he says he's releasing two new BlackBerry 10 devices coming soon. What are the big draw sort of features that these phones are going to have that will take anyone away from Android or?
The thing is the Priv, isn't it, or something? So here's a picture of the Priv, which looks pretty forgettable.
Yeah.
Not wishing to be rude.
And it is predictable, isn't it? Because even Microsoft tried before. They tried a couple of Android phones as well, made them look like Windows phones. And it just seems like, because even Samsung are having trouble selling their phones at the moment. HTC having a problem at the moment. And with the Google phones, the Nexus 5X and 6P, Google are trying to take control of their ecosystem by releasing aggressively priced phones. And I just don't want to be in a world where it's just iOS and Android, because that's kind of sad.
Yeah, I do agree.
But what would a company need to do to actually penetrate this market now? I just think it's all over. It's the sad part of that makes me worried that we're never going to see real innovation now, because they can just coast.
Well, you know, the two things that come to play in my head are, first of all, what exactly are we counting as penetration? Success or getting close to Apple and Android? Getting close to Apple and Android may be an veritable possibility. But you look at something like Windows Phone. If they were able to just gain, you know, a small amount of market share so that they stay profitable, then they're successful. And then there's the people that love it, the people that will use it. And I kind of, you know, not to give a weird analogy, but you hearken it to some of the, you know, higher end wines or, you know, food or beverages, right? Like, they do well. They stay afloat. They've been around for thousands of years. They're never going anywhere. But the average person doesn't eat them like they eat McDonald's. But they're not broken by any sense of the word. So no one would know them as they know the Big Mac. But yet most people have ambiently heard of, like, an Opus.
Right, but they don't need people to make posh wine glasses for them and all that sort of stuff in the same way that people need to make apps for up-and-coming devices or operating systems.
So I'm saying, like, if somebody could get into the game and just get themselves salient, then that might be enough. And maybe they don't have to try to go out to compete. Because, okay, IDC says there was 337 million smartphones sold last quarter, which I had the number already ready for my story, so don't think I just pulled that out of my ass. So if you were to take that, you know, for the rest of the year, right, that would put you at 1,348 million phones. And the end of the day, 1.3 billion is still just a dent in the population. So somebody has a chance somewhere. But if you're trying to compete in the high end, ain't going to happen. If you try to compete in that mid-tier, maybe ain't going to happen. And maybe the bottom low-tier not going to happen. So maybe that one tier just above low. Maybe they go straight to India, South America, some of the emerging countries, and they make something that A, doesn't suck and doesn't have to do with the U.S. and the euro, and then slide it into a third-tier market and win and, like, do fantastic.
There's a couple of people here in the chat room making good points. I mean, Deep Pan saying the new Windows phones are good, but they are Intel, and if they got to Intel, then that would let them run universal apps, and that would severely improve their penetration in the market. And I think he also said, you've got to remember, though, that even a single-digit penetration into the cell phone market is still a massive, massive income. And if you're talking about Windows taking 13% of a market, 15% of a market share in Europe, that's an enormous amount of phones to be selling. And there is money there for development, and there is success. And I can't believe, I mean, if you've got your percentage of, we were talking the other week about, well, it's okay selling 20 million units, but if your logistics setup is for 40 million units, then you're going to be losing money. You're not making a big enough percentage on that. And I can't believe that Windows aren't making, you know, at least clearing a 10% margin on the cost of a phone.
Right.
But it's not enough to penetrate the monopoly that Google and Apple have on this market. But
you're not looking to
penetrate.
You
can't say
that,
monopoly and they don't go in the same sentence. Monopoly means
no, but it's, yeah, exactly. Good point. But okay. Thanks for the English lesson, Doc. English lesson from American. Jesus, I'm going to go to a cupboard and shoot myself afterwards. But the point holds that those two parties are not the be-all and end-all. There is an offer being made of an alternative, which people are taking because there is market shares at 10% with Windows. But also, you can't discount the fact that no one's going to come in like Apple did and completely revolutionise the phone market. At the moment, we've done the state of the art, if you like, with that change, with the big screens, and now everyone's trying to figure out how to utilise those big screens and make them do better things. But who's saying that the next thing is not circular? It's not a cylinder. It's not a ball that you can carry in your pocket that folds out or something like that. And, there's any number of ways that a technology may emerge and then come over and take that market away from those two people. It's by no means it's a spectrum. You hold the market for a period of time until something comes and says, "Nope, sorry, we're the new kid in town. We're taking it all off you." And that's still always a possibility.
And you know what's funny is to further Ewan's point, like we are basically at a position, and if we go from cell phones to where cell phones are, roughly about 20 years into it. This was the same conversation every 20 years since computers, right? Like, there was the big rooms and the punch cards and all the people in the room. And then 20 years later, Toshiba comes out and goes, "Hey, we're going to make it." I'm sorry, not Toshiba. I forgot the name already. It begins with an O. They had the big brick, three different pieces. You had to carry the brick around. And they're like, "Look, we're going to make it so you can carry it around." Osborne, there you go. "We're going to make the brick so you can carry it around." Toshiba took the brick one step further. "Well, we're going to make the brick hand holdable." And then that became the notebook. And then the notebook got re-revolutionized when Apple says, "Okay, we're going to screw the plastic body. We're going to go to metal so it's more, durable." And like really to tie in, whenever we finish this to go into my story, you'll understand that everyone sitting around now having the same conversations that they had, every time that you hit that plateau in where we are. And I think for phones, we're sort of at a plateau. But it can be pushed, as any weightlifter or athlete can tell you. You can always push past plateau.
Yeah, you copy to the point that there's just nothing but copying taking place, and then it evolves and it moves forward from that. Chat room is still going off on stuff. Windows 10 might make an improvement and help boost the Windows market. And I'm never asking Nigel in here again, because he's giving out tons of my secrets of my past history.
I'd forgotten that.
That
was good, with the white bullneck.
Yeah, no. So Nigel's put in the chat room that I went to a Halloween party that they ran, dressed as a penis.
It's true. It's all true. White roll neck.
Yeah, I went. I had a white roll neck and white trousers and white big balloons on my feet with hairy dots all over them, and I wore a red swimming cap with a big eye painted on the top. But I also had a blue scarf that was pinned to the whole thing and ran down the whole right hand side.
So. And when people asked you what your name was, you said Dick.
Yeah, there's got to be a picture of that somewhere. There has to be a picture of that somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was before,
it was a good party.
Before phones with cameras. So.
Yeah, there was no phone cameras then at that point. Yeah, no. There was barely mobile phones, I think. I had a Motorola flip-out one with a pull-up aerial at the time. Is BlackBerry going to go under? Is it? I mean, they're not going to go under, I don't think, because they're probably going to still have a lot in the enterprise space for some of their communications background stuff. But in terms of the handset and phone market, is it a done deal? Is this like the last chunks coming up in the vomit that was the decline of Apple, of BlackBerry? Sorry, you spied me there, dude, hurling up last night. Is this the end of the phones?
I was that man. Yeah.
It's desperation. This is all over.
This is totally the end of heart. BlackBerry. All they've had really keeping them afloat is their service business. So they've got that. And my guess eventually is that some company is going to snap up BlackBerry service business at a bargain basement price. And then that'll be it. BlackBerry just disappears, just like Palm did.
Yeah. Yeah. Doc, do you think it's the end?
Yeah.
Lee? All done,
yeah, I think it's quite sad. I think we're watching the slow last breaths, aren't we, of an old dog. There.
The death rattle.
We used to love it once, but yes, unfortunately it's time to go.
It's not the priv, it's the death rattle. That's what they've called their last phone. Yeah. Doc, you mentioned your story there, so you're harking on about Windows laptops here. That should be a spicy debate coming up. Tell us more.
Yeah, no, so today, and we might be on the same time frame, so we really won't know about what they're talking about until we're done. Microsoft, Intel, Dell, Lenovo, HP are all gathering together to hold this webcast, right? And they're basically generating for the first time ever a, like, unified message from the PC manufacturers and the PC industry. They're coming together to make a marketing push for Christmas, right? And I don't know if you guys have these things, but we have them here in the U.S. where, you know, all the beef guys get together and tell you to eat beef and, you know, the chicken guys get together and say eat more chicken. All the butter guys get together until you stop eating margarine. It's not going to kill you. Butter's fine. And, like, it's funny to see the PC manufacturers jumping into sort of what basically only farming industry and pharmacy industries have done here in the U.S. is try to build a single campaign message. And part of that reason is, and this, the author of the article on The Verge, Vlad Savov, he purports that PC manufacturers have worked so hard to get their margins low and try to do some of the features. No one's ever really done it well. And the thing that they really suck at, everyone comes out with a great, cool feature, like convertible, bendable, poppable, rechargeable, dockable, like rotatable, like whatever. So everyone's done that. But what they haven't really addressed is that super solid battery that you'll find in an Apple laptop, or that super solid touchpad, or trackpad rather, that you'll find in the Apple laptop. And he's saying that those two things are really what has been sort of holding them back. And you add the fact that, again, like I said, there's 333 million smartphones shipped in the second quarter as to a dropping 66 million PCs. And so he's saying that, you know, it's about time that instead of these guys worrying about the marketing, they don't really need new marketing. What they need is better laptops. So he said the, I guess the shining object or silver lining, rather, sorry, is the Surface Book is got a decent trackpad and they went glass trackpad out of Apple. And the new Dell says it has a 15-hour battery life. And they did, you know, basically, the laptop is built like the Intel computer on a stick with a bunch of batteries, as is the new, you know, MacBook. And it says the new HP Spectra X360 also has this wicked screen. So it says, like, these guys are kind of getting it, but he's just wondering if it's too late. And yeah, it was just an interesting read when you think about it, because everyone, like, you know, in the Apple camp, the one thing we get to say that we win hands down is notebooks. Whereas everyone says in the phone camp, we sit around and wait and we copy everyone else's features, but make them work. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to see this argument pass by.
So, I mean, I haven't used a Windows laptop for Christ knows how long. And it's saying there that the chronic, you know, there was two Windows laptops reviewed by The Verge yesterday, one from Toshiba featuring a 4K display and the other from LG emphasizing the lightness above all else. Both have their gimmicks to sell them, but they both carry two chronic shortcomings of Windows laptops in general: wonky touchpads and inadequate battery life. I mean, is that a fair statement? Is there no good trackpads on Windows machines?
Well, it's the fact that Microsoft last week did a keynote where they released they announced a laptop that looks amazing, which is now sold out. And I think they're coming together going, because Microsoft didn't criticize their OEM partners, they criticized Apple, so we're fighting Apple. They wouldn't criticize Lenovo, Dell or anything like that, because they're selling laptops with their operating system on it. They're probably coming out this week going, shit, Microsoft released a thing last week, it looks really good, and by the way guys, we do really good stuff too. And the timing is, you know, amazing. It's almost like they're going, we weren't sure what Microsoft was going to announce, and now they're announcing something that looks pretty amazing, because there's a 12-hour battery on the Surface Book, which when it's docked, and they're probably saying, actually, we're still here, because I don't see past the Surface Book, because that looks like an amazing laptop.
You know, this is a problem that Microsoft's partners have, and it's that Microsoft waits and waits and waits, and then they release something that essentially screws over their partners.
Hmm.
And I think that's exactly what Microsoft is doing right now with the Surface Book. And so their partners have to band together and come up with some way to try and get some of that spotlight back on themselves. So they're like, hey, look over here. We have really good hardware too. It's not new, but it's good. And if I was a company making hardware that was going to be running Windows, I would be pissed off. But then again, exactly. I wouldn't do it because I've seen Microsoft do this before, and so I would just pick a different market to go into.
And you know what's funny about that is that's what Gateway used to get in trouble for. Gateway pour out a little liquor for you. Dell used to make all of these cool notebooks and they put them into the channel, and then they'd go on the website and sell it directly for cheaper and compete directly against their own channel. Like, it was the dumbest thing ever. And now they're getting the same thing done to them and they're kind of complaining about it. And I was like, yeah, you guys remember what you used to do? I mean, I worked at CompUSA and that was our biggest cry. People would come in to buy a Dell laptop or a Dell computer and be like, why should I buy from you when I can get it cheaper directly from the website? And I'd be like, you shouldn't. Okay, I'm going to go have a Starbucks out. Bye. That's the thing. It was hard to compete against that.
That was an interesting comment from Paul there about, that Windows are attacking Apple because Apple's their competition. I don't think Apple is their competition anymore. I think their competition is themselves, because they cannot get people away from XP. They cannot get people onto new hardware because the old hardware performs just fine with XP, and they like XP, and XP runs the stuff that they've got, sound cards, video cards, all the extra things that they put good money into, and they don't want to upgrade because it goes to Windows 10. And the stall point for Microsoft was, or the nail in the coffin for Microsoft was, the day that they actually released the best operating system they've ever managed to put together and most reliable, which was XP. And that's where their problem comes. They're constantly trying to get people to move forward and upgrade to new technology. Those people are not going to be going to Apple, not by a long shot, I don't think. Tell me I'm wrong.
Most of them will stay with Windows. And I think you're absolutely right. This was not taking on Apple. This is not competition with Apple. This was Microsoft taking on their own partners and competing with them.
Yeah.
No, but in the keynote, Microsoft could not take on their partners. They attacked Apple at the keynote because they could not attack Dell and Lenovo because they were really pissed off. But they are doing that.
Yeah, that's exactly what they were doing. Apple just happened to be the target that they during the presentation, but that's not
after. Oh, of course.
You know what's going to be interesting is, and this is a first, and I should have had the link ready. I'll go look for it real quick. Yesterday, Intel said that for their employees, they're going to shrink down like 20,000 support people and move it over to, I guess, bring your own device, and they're going to cut it down to like 2,000 people, and they're all going to do mostly Macs. And you know that IBM and, IBM and Apple are working together on this iPad stuff. So you can see it would be really, really trippy if finally Apple says, okay, we're going to decide to OEM some stuff, and we're going to give it back to IBM, and IBM jumps back into game, creating the quote-unquote, you know, enterprise-level Apple-oriented computers or something, and then now everybody's going to be sucked and win. So I don't think it won't be long until Apple releases that, you know, holder. They make their own stuff, and it might let in some other people, but they'll be really qualified partners working in a very, you know, niche market kind of thing. I think there's a possibility there. And I think the other thing is, what Ewan said is correct. You're looking at a cruise ship trying to turn, and that's Microsoft, because they have such a humongous installed base. It's hard to get that install base to move.
The chat room wants to know, Doc, if you're on a 56K dial-up modem.
I had 300 down and 20 up. So it's
you look like you got 2 down at the moment and 100 kilobits up.
I will test it.
It's, no, yours has gone. Everyone else's video is just crystal, and yours is, they're a bit stoppy, I have to say. There's something going on stopping the signal through. But you've gone particularly choppy, old boy. Hurricane something or other's rolling in. Batwench wants a fight with me because she says that the best Windows operating system was not XP, it was 3.11, of course. And I do stand. You're not going to hear a fight from me there. That was gorgeous. That and PageMaker at that same time were just... PageMaker version 1.
Wow.
PageMaker version 1 on Windows 3.11 was just like heaven.
Gorgeous. Aldous was an awesome company. I do miss Aldous.
Aldous PageMaker was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Version 1 on that was just superb. That was my first DTP system that I ever used.
That was back in the days when everything changed. Because we got the Macintosh, Adobe gave us PostScript, and Aldous gave us PageMaker. Put those three together, and it completely changed graphic design and publishing forever.
I didn't have a Mac then. I didn't get a Mac until the G3s. That was my first Mac.
Wow.
So I used Macs, but... Okay. So Nigel's just shown me that he's just texted his wife and said, have we got a picture of you and dressed as a penis? So yes. That may be on the show before
the
end.
Is possible.
Now moved from whether Amazon deliver whiskey within 1 hour to the studio here to finding a picture of me dressed as a penis.
Ewan, if that picture does show up, I need a copy of it so that can be a photo of you that shows up on my phone when you call.
I'll be your background, mate. No worries at all. No problem.
That would be the most awesome thing ever.
Don't forget WordPerfect, says Jim in the chat room.
Oh, dear.
And Muller says that I ought to come dressed as that to the next bash. It is a family event, so no, I will not be coming dressed as a penis to the bash in front of my children. There's nothing sadder than a drunken penis. Who's written that?
Swamp Rat.
Thanks, dude. but the good news is that most of them are willing to pay for that. So forget about paying for battling drones. They're paying to watch me dress up as a penis.
Oh, God.
I see a business opportunity.
What? You mean penis for hire?
Yeah.
It's like a gigolo for a fat penis.
There has to be. We could start a funding campaign. We'll call it Kickstarter.
Dude. That's awesome.
Wow.
Is there a Northern Bash this year? Yes, there is a Northern Bash this year. We're struggling to set a date, and the reason is that we're running headlong into nearly December, so we haven't got a lot of time to promote it. The first available date that we can do is in November, and that's only that gives us like 4 weeks prep. Then if we go into January, no one's got any money, so they're not going to start flying themselves over to Scotland to get to the Gamer Show Bash. And then we're into February, and Kirsty and Paul are expecting around that time. So it might be a bit touch and go. We might end up having it in kind of March, April time, which is a shame. But there is going to be a Gamer Show quiz again in December, so that'd be worth. Congrats to them. No one knew that they were... Yes, Kirsty and Waiters are expecting another. There we go.
Congrats.
Excellent. Max saving IBM money on ITM management despite higher upfront costs. Thank you, Deep Pet. I'll have a look at that tomorrow. That'd be good. We're going to be talking about content blockers tomorrow as well, because Chuck the Tornist wanted to talk about those, and Chuck's back on the show tomorrow on the Max show. So,
thank you, Deep Pet. That was the link I was looking for.
There you go. And Ewan is bringing little Ewan. I'm not sure what that means. No, it's my Tadger, right? Okay.
I do.
So
no,
I'm just telling her that he's actually my son. You know?
Well, no, yeah, because that's what I was just about to say. What wee Ewan is, because I'm big Ewan, and wee Ewan is his son. He called his son Ewan, so it's yeah. That was.
I think you should stick with that.
Righty has found a picture of Philippa Forrester for us. There you go, that's Philippa. Is that modern? Is that now?
No.
Or is that then?
It was a good picture.
That's now.
She isn't. She's got a painting in the attic there.
She can bake me a cake and you know what.
I beg your pardon? You're all... There's nothing inappropriate about that statement at all, is there, Paul?
Not at all, no.
Yeah. She can bake me... Why does she have to bake a cake before? Is that like a fetish thing?
I'll go out with you, love,
but not until you bake me a cake.
It's courtesy. We're British.
It's an old Norwich pastime.
Oh, I was going to say, that's a Norwich introduction
don't
service.
Don't do the Norwich thing. Yeah.
Cakedate.com. See if that's available. Norwich Cake Date. I'll meet you at the pub at 9 and I'll be bringing a Battenberg.
You don't bring me a carrot cake, I'll give you no accent.
Well, you know, relationships are all about give and take.
Give and cake.
Add a carrot cake.
Yeah.
Is your sister a good cook?
Don't you even start there, mate. We had a pact.
We had a pact. I've broken it.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Repeatedly.
Sorry to break in here, but good news. Good news from Scotland.
Oh, no. Maybe.
The photo exists.
Has she taken a picture of the photo and sent it?
I just suggested that because it's my wife.
Who
is listening and is not hugely techno with it. So we're working on it, guys. Photo 2. It does exist.
Nigel?
Yeah.
Well, my wife, all of us. She's wonderful.
There you go, Carol. If you're listening, you're wonderful.
Photo on Uber and have him drive it over.
You can go tomorrow. Don't come back for another 4 years.
Had to get a passport for this visit, yeah.
Yeah. We were talking about drink driving laws, actually, because Nigel comes from Scotland. So the drink drive limit up here is 0.08 millilitres per litre of blood, and in Scotland it's 0.05. So you literally can drive up to Scotland's Scottish border at 0.08, and once you cross the border, you can be done for drink driving. And there's not even like a... There'll be a change in the surface of the concrete. It's not like you go through a border post and you're into a different nation or anything. It's the same country and you've got two different legal limits, it seems.
So what you're saying is start drinking in Scotland, drive back.
Drive south, yep.
Yeah, walk over the border to get in your car to drive south. Alternatively, kids, don't drink and drive, but...
Yeah, that was...
The photo pasted. There's demand for this photo.
I don't get to vet it, I take it. You're just gonna airdrop it across to that laptop and it's gonna appear in front of me, bastard. Right, okay. Jeff, did you bring a story?
I did bring a story. I think I dropped the link in, but I will...
I didn't see it. I do apologize. Let me scroll.
That's all right, because
I can
make it happen again.
Oh, is that Milky Way's most mysterious star?
There we go. All right, so... This is a story that I found over at I Love Science, and
at 43 minutes. Okay, thanks, mate.
Sorry about that.
No, it's a quote. It's not a problem.
Anyhow, so astronomers have found an interesting anomaly between the constellations of Sirius and Lyra, or Cygnus and Lyra, I believe.
Right.
So there's this star, and they've been watching it just like they watch so many stars to see if the light from the star goes up and then goes down and then goes up and goes down. And that's a way to tell if there's another object orbiting that star. So it's one of the ways we find planets. Well, they have seen something that makes the light go up and then back down, but it's not consistent in the way it does it. And so they've been plotting it, and it looks like there's something really big that is not a natural shape. And so now it's raising speculation. Is this actually something that was made by an intelligent race? Because it doesn't fit the patterns of anything else that we know right now.
Wow. Because one of the things is, isn't there a theory that if we're going to find... alien life, then there is a theory that there'd be a Dyson sphere around it, because it's the only way that it could have maintained itself for this duration to have got to that technological advantage, and that would appear as an anomaly in... So,
sure, yeah, Dyson sphere or Dyson ring.
Yeah, it would have to be around the planet, otherwise they're not intelligent enough to be able to have sustained for that enough period of time since the birth of the universe. But I don't know. So there's no guesses at this. There's no. They don't know what the shape is. And I'm just desperate for someone in the chat room is going to put penis shape in a minute.
They don't know anything about the shape, but they know that it's really big, and it doesn't conform to the patterns that you would expect to see from a planet or a moon or asteroids. So it's something. They just don't know what. So I guess what's happening, I don't know if it's this weekend or if it's next week, there are some specialized antennas, I forget which ones, are going to be pointed at this point in space to see if we can pick up anything that doesn't fit the normal pattern for background radio waves or other types of energy emissions. And if they pick up anything that doesn't or that is anomalous, then they're planning on seeing if they can get at even bigger and more sensitive ground-based sensor systems to do some more research and see if they can really narrow down what this thing is.
Right, okay. That's interesting. That's really interesting. Are we thinking it's alien life then, chaps? Have we found our counterparts? Are we not alone in the universe?
Of course we're not. Don't give me the religious thing about this, but of course we're not.
I think it's crazy to believe that we're by ourselves.
Yeah.
I think we're always going to be by ourselves.
Well, that's my life, but no.
You mean that they don't want to come here? Yeah, I probably wouldn't want to come here either if I was outside looking in.
Yeah, no, I think while there's a certain element as well where I honestly believe that while we're dogged by religious... religious wars and hate, we're never going to get alien life make contact because you can't have that kind of shit getting out. It's just the last thing we do is pollute an alien culture with some shit religion that causes you to kill someone for what you believe. So that's why we're never going to do it. But the distances are too great. I mean, we might find that there are other habitable planets, but I don't believe that we will go extinct without ever knowing for certain whether there is intelligent life on other planets.
Oh,
it's just the distances are too big.
Yeah, I think you and you're only partially right.
Go on then.
I think that before our species goes extinct, we will have found positive proof of life on other planets. However, it's likely our species could go extinct without ever meeting these people.
Yeah.
Because we have two things going against us. First one, like you said, incredible distances. And then the second thing is time. And the clues that we would get that will tell us that there's life or intelligent life on other planets is probably going to be really, really old by the time it gets to us. So it's possible that whatever we see or hear from another race somewhere is going to be coming from a race that probably already existed.
Yeah.
Very true, yes.
Muller's correcting me in saying that a Dyson sphere is built around a star, not a planet.
Which is true.
I didn't know that. I thought it was planets.
I thought it was a vacuum cleaner, but there you go.
Yeah, you jacked
it. I knew you'd do that one. That's why I saved it for you. But to be fair, Muller's also put in the chat room a link about a man walking around the streets or walking around Norway dressed up as a giant penis spraying glitter at everyone.
Yes.
It is pretty funny.
It was Muller. It was Muller.
And there's a good example of why you should go to britishshipnetwork.com/chat periodically, because if you're looking for the links that we use and that kind of stuff, if Anders has built us a lovely chat bot that sits in the chat room, gathers all of the information and then automatically posts it up to the BTM page. So you go to britishnetwork.com/chat and then you click on Thursday the 15th of October, and in there you will have the full transcript of everything everyone said on the show and in the back chat room. Now do be aware that not everything that people type is read out by me, so therefore there may be some fruitful fruity language in there that may be totally inappropriate, and there may be a link to a picture of me dressed as a penis at a Halloween costume 20 years ago,
which is wholly appropriate.
Which has images of a giant glitter screen case.
To work. If you could turn this camera on for a moment.
Oh!
No, because it's gone over. That hasn't worked. Here we go. This is the picture of me dressed as a penis.
Oh, God.
Hold it at the side.
How are we gonna, see, that is Ewan dressed as a penis. I'm working on displaying it more.
Just email it to me. That's, there we go. Go. It's not a full-length picture, though, is it?
Sadly, no.
No, it's only
the upper half.
Only the upper half.
That's old. Red.
But it is me. Ewan Captain Cook.
I don't think that's Cook.
That's will aliens Cook. Who come and who've intercepted our TV signals come here to rescue the castaways on Gilligan's Island?
We can live in hope.
Yeah, no.
Okay. What's your email?
Gilligan the Island.
Email address.
Thank you for the... What's that?
Email address.
I don't really want to give it out.
No, that's fair enough. Type that in there.
BritishNetNetwork@gmail.com. There we go. Solved it. That was close. So if you want to write to me, BritishNetNetwork@gmail.com. Yeah, that's where all the wanker emails come. My story is from the Telegraph this week, and it's about a group who've decided to spice up the emoji market. I know, Doc, you've done Aloha Emoji, which is a series of emojis for your islands. However, a group have created something called the Flirt Emoji. And what they've done is they've got a whole series of emojis, and I've never said this word before on a BTN podcast, but I'm about to, which are vaginas. There we go.
Very clinical.
So there are 100 different types of vagina in the emoji set for vaginas. There we go. And there's a little
That's
link
so
to
awesome.
All of them, yes.
But vagina emoji.
The vagina emoji.
Jeez.
173.
Yeah, there you go. I did tweet out today that the third one along on the top I thought may have been in the Jackson 5. But and I'm not entirely sure why there's a water droplet on the one at the bottom. That would make me suspicious of whether we should continue this relationship or not. And someone,
or maybe that one's really excited.
Yes, it's crying after. There you go. So, and the one on the right with the purple and the green and the that's a bit alien as well. So,
if you've got a green one, that's a bit worrying.
What a cock says. Well, thank you very much, mate. But two of the team, Kathy McCarthy. So don't be all screaming feminist shit now, eh? And Jeremy Yingling. Recently spoke to The Verge about their celebration of the vagina and the asymmetrical body parts. There was one vagina, I remember, that we were going to cut, and it was the one that was the least symmetrical of the original group, but a friend looked at it and said, that's the one that looks the most like mine. Thank you, Katie, for that quote.
Can't
be wonky one. Bearing in mind as well, she says, we do a lot of looking and studying, trying to figure out what colour it really is. Not just pink, like we'll go to the metaphor that you have in your head and try to make a deeper look at the colour that's happening. And Jeremy says, certainly any time I came across something that looked, that's a really bad way of phrasing that, Jeremy, by the way, that looked interesting or curious while watching pornography, I'd make a screen grab and drop it in a folder. I'm not sure if I presume he's talking about the vagina there. But there you go. You can get vagina emoji from these fine people. It's not a cool thing, because if I put those on my phone and start putting them in my tweets, I might lose more followers than I already lose. So,
or you might more.
What do you think? Yeah. I get enough hate mail. Jesus. I don't
even know. It could be a new opening for you.
Oh, Jesus, righty.
I shouldn't laugh.
I didn't really bring a story that was worth discussing there, did I, I suppose? Deep Banners put, that's not a water droplet in that one. Never stir another man's porridge.
Oh, I get it.
Just to always, no, this podcast and all others is brought to you by UK2. They're absolutely awesome. We've got a great connection with UK2. They are wonderful. They look after us. They give us all the server space. They give us all of the bandwidth and do all our hosting and that kind of stuff. There are 6 years of shows, and you can watch them all, video and audio, by going to UK2, because they've stored that much. We've got 3.5 terabytes of video and audio spacing back over the last 6-7 years. That they've been with us, and they're absolutely wonderful. So all of the old Bagel Tech shows are still on there as well. You can go and watch those. And if you missed anything, it means, you know, you can do what Lopter's done. So at Lopter on Twitter, one of our listeners has come across the network and realized that we do some nice shows, and he's gone right back and found all of the shows he can find on the feeds and started listening from show one and come forwards. And I think he's close to it. Well, he does a lot of miles. He's a trucker. He does a lot of miles, so he's now up to date ish with us. So thanks for doing that. If you want anything, go to them. And the other things, I've had a chat with UK2. I think next week we're going to have a, because I've given up Dropbox this week, because, you know, I was just getting nothing from it. I wasn't using it. I didn't store that much on it because I've got my own server, so I put stuff on there now if I want to transfer it to customers and then just send a link. And I spoke to UK2 and said, you know, you could put together a little package that, yeah, okay, you're not going to get the same amount, you're not going to get 1 terabyte for $99, but people can administer their own data on their own server, have full control of it. No one's going to take it away if anything goes wrong. And they're like, yeah, we could do that. So we might have a little set on that next week that'll they'll put it straight as well. Okay. Cool. Right. I haven't got the email from Nige. So...
Still working.
We're still working. We will come back with the picture of me, I do promise. In the meantime, have you got a cool thing, chaps? Do stick it into the chat room if you definitely have. Start us off, please, Mr. Garrett.
Yeah, I've got one. Mine's been out for a little while now. I think it came out in September. But I've only just decided that I wanted to drop £12 on an iOS game. So I did, wow. And it's Final Fantasy VII. No, I remember playing it when it first came out. I think it was about 18 years ago, and I was just hooked end to end. It was just the first game that I've really, really sort of almost fallen in love with, and it's every bit as good on the iPad. It works an absolute charm. I absolutely love this game. It's worth every penny of that £12. In fact, I'll pay double that to have it. It is superb. So Final Fantasy VII on iOS. Awesome.
How does it relate in terms of, because I'm presuming you've played the one on another gaming platform like Xbox or PC?
I played it on the PS1
right
then. And what you've got essentially is in the bottom left, you can choose what type of control you have, like you do in normal standard driving games, etc. But essentially what you've got is use your left thumb in the bottom left-hand corner to sort of control your character around. And then you've got your standard Y and X keys on the right-hand side to manage all your menus. It's very easy to use, I promise you. The only difference you've got between the iOS version and the PS1 version is the names of the spells. So where the spells were called, I think it was Fire, Fyra, and Firaga, as an example, they're called Fire 1, Fire 2, Fire 3. That's it. There's no other change. It's exactly the same. It's a perfect port. Love it.
Excellent, mate. Okay, and $11.99 in the UK store, so I'm guessing it is.
It took me a while to pluck up the courage for that one, but yeah, it's worth it.
Excellent, mate. Superb. Thank you very much. Next to you then, Jeff, what is your cool thing?
Oh, popping the link in the chat room now. Okay, so mine is a video series. And while some of you are probably thinking, oh, not something that... we can talk about without lots of censoring. Not true. So this is a series that Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk, who were both on Firefly, have put together. And it's a show about a guy who played the secondary role in a sci-fi TV series that was stopped or canceled way too early. And he was the pilot on the spaceship. And his friend played the captain on the spaceship. The captain went on, or that actor went on to have a very successful career. And the guy that played the pilot on the ship went on to do some minor stuff, but was really kind of getting by on the sci-fi convention circuit. And so the show is called con man, and Alan Tudyk plays the guy that was the pilot on the spaceship. So basically what they did was they took the concept of Firefly and what happened with it after the show ended and made this comedy series out of it that is running on Vimeo. And so you right. can rent the entire series for $15. And the people that are doing guest spots on the show, it's like all the names that these people would be associated with anyhow, and all the people that are their friends, and including Joss Whedon, who created Firefly, and it is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I'll second well that. As... you picked it on the iOS show, I think, last week, didn't you, Jeff? And as soon as you picked it, I went for it, and it is worth every penny. It's so fun.
Oh, that's right. I forgot I mentioned it on the iOS
show. It is so funny. Yes. No, thank you. It brightened my week up. Really good.
Oh, excellent. I might give that a go then, definitely. It's got, so they've got a monetization as well of Vimeo for content, so yeah, pay the fee that you want.
Yeah, which is great. And I'm totally fine paying to watch a series like this. Yeah, they deserve some money for all of their effort, and it's very professional.
So this is £9 to rent for 30 days. Can you buy it outright, though?
And watch forever. I don't think you can buy it outright yet, but I believe that's coming.
Okay, that's good.
And they did a crowdsource thing. I can't remember if it was Kickstarter or Indiegogo to raise the money for the series initially, just so they could get the production going. And I think if you paid at a certain level in that, you get your own copies of the files shows. But for the rest of us, I think we have to wait a while before we can just outright buy the whole series.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah, good pick that. I might give that a go. Mm. Looks good. Before we move on any further, it has arrived. Here you go. Just for all of the viewing pleasure that you would like, this is a picture of me, which is 20 plus years old.
Oh,
dressed at a party as a dick. There we go.
And there's a witch that is transfixed by you.
Is that Bobby?
Yeah.
The Bobby Flack, yeah. She was, yeah, looking back now, I don't know why I sat and chatted her up that night.
Ewan, just to be clear, are those pussies behind you?
They are. There's a cock with a couple of pussies. There we go. But I've got a condom on my head as well, though. It was a safe party.
Of course.
If you'd like to see that picture, then you're going to have to download the video podcast, obviously. So, and as you can see, I was uncircumcised at the time. Oh, those were good days, mate. Those were good days. Playing cricket, drinking beer, getting drunk.
Is the blue tape supposed to be a vein? Awesome.
The blue was a vein, yeah. It's the big blue vein at the side. Yeah. Been done. I think it was actually... my mum actually helped me get dressed up that night, and it was a... It was the blue was actually
your
the...
Helped you.
Yeah, my mum had to help me get dressed because I couldn't pin the thing on myself in the right place, so she pinned it on for me, and then she tied the balloons on my feet as well. That's actually the band from round her dressing gown. So.
This must have been for awesome discussion therapy sessions.
No, we were an old family. Nothing wrong with that. It's not Tyler the Boots. Doc, what do you have for us as a cool thing?
Alrighty, you guys are killing me now. Cracking and laughing. All right, I'm going to give you my cool pick. Is new show put out. It's called The Last Kingdom. It's on BBC America, so I'm sure you guys probably get it too. Right. It's like the author came out directly and was like, Game of Thrones is shite.
Yeah.
I'll show you how this is done. And so far, so good. Like, I love it. The first episode was pretty intense. The next episode just dropped. The next episode drops this weekend, but man, it's pretty cool. It's well done. I don't know how these guys do it, but they spend so much money on production for something that's not on the pay cable. So it's pretty incredible. But I think everyone, if you're into this kind of thing, if you like, you know, Middle Earth-y type stuff or shows where everyone dies, if you're into Game of Thrones, you'll dig it. If you're into any of this, you know, type of show, you'll love it. It's well done. It's well written, well shot, well produced. And I think it's the coolest. I also had the chance to play with a prototype of the 4K Amazon Fire TV coming up next month.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That thing is so fast, so beautiful. And the video looks a freaking amazing. So secondary pick to back up this is if you haven't already bought one and you've been on the fence about Amazon Fire TV, the new one is ridiculous.
I love it. I mean, I've got Amazon Fire TV and I've got a Fire Stick here in the studio. So that's Matthew McFadden as well, who I do like. I think he's a very good actor.
Oh, I thought I recognized him. He's great.
He used to be in Spooks and he was in the Three Musketeers movie. And he's a very good actor. I do like him.
You know, I loved Spooks. In the U.S., they called it MI5 because of the ethnic slur connotation that goes along with the term Spooks.
Yeah, yeah.
At home, man, I loved that series. And I was so bummed when he left.
Have you guys in America got the Spooks movie? They've made a movie where Harry leaves, effectively, and exits. But they've made a movie out of the whole thing. And we bought it the other night on Apple TV, and it... it was okay. There was bits of it. It was like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. It was a good movie, but there was bits of it you kind of thought, come on, get on with it. And that was it. But it was good. It was all right. Definitely worth buying, or definitely worth renting. But I don't rent anymore. I wish if they did a rent to buy, and we rented it, and we're like, that's cool, and I'll buy that. And I got the rental back off the purchase. That I would spend loads more. I would watch loads more. They'd get loads more rentals out of me. But now I just buy movies, and I don't buy them unless I'm sure I'm going to like them. So it's their own
Jeffrey,
fault.
Yes.
Do you know what? Which one of the streaming joints has Spooks on it?
Not off the top of my head.
All right, I'm going to hunt it down.
But
whatever happened
MI5
to that matcha app? It used to be so handy. I can't find the matcha app either.
Yeah. Okay, so the deal is, if you can find MI5, it's great and it's worth watching. But if you can find it as Spooks, it's better because MI5, there are scenes that are cut out from the original episodes to shorten it down for US TV length. And sometimes they cut out scenes that are actually really critical to the storyline. And so you have this jump where you're like, I have no clue why this is happening right now, or why is this person acting in this way? And it's because a scene that was really key was pulled out. So
I'm seeing this thing for a movie called Spooks coming out in 2015 that actually has Kit Harington, who is Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. Is that the same one?
Yeah.
And it's called The Greater Good?
Yeah, I've just watched it. It's all right.
It's on.
Oh, we've had a big load of people leave and join the chat room. I don't know what's happened there.
Yeah, we had some problems with it. We all got kicked.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Sorry, chaps.
Got kicked, too.
And chap S's. That's fine. You're in.
Is IRC split?
Yeah, right. No. Thanks to Albert Sims for tweeting out the picture of me dressed as a pig. That didn't take long, did it?
Well, that was quick.
So I thought, okay, I might as well just do it. Here we go. I've posted it out as well, so... If you want to follow Nigel and get more lurid details about me, then he's at Faded Red Not Pink on Twitter.
Done.
Yeah. Done. Wait till you see his last post. I think it's probably 2 years ago.
Yeah, at least.
He's done 80 tweets.
Easy to stay up on Nigel's Twitter.
Yeah.
He's done 80 tweets. The last one was 205 days ago. So.
Well, I do use the school's account as well, so in my defense.
There we go. It's not, yeah.
Look, high school.
High school, yeah, okay. I don't want to say that on air. So there we go. So thanks, Nigel.
No worries.
And last but by no means least, Righty Boy. We got some good cool things tonight, I have to say.
Yeah, well, I've been on our own site at BritishCinema.com, Mac Jim's great review of podcast apps.
Yeah, Mac, now, for those of you who don't know, Mac Jim's been around the network since day one, pretty much. He used to listen to the old the old news show, and used to give me encouragement when it was quiet days. And he's gone through a fair old turmoil in his last couple of years, but he wants to start writing blogs, so he's doing some blogs on BTN, and they're good. They're well worth it. Worth watching. Yeah.
But so the one he said recently is about the podcast apps he uses.
Yeah.
And I read it and I started looking up, because I've always wanted to look at Overcast, and I'll put it in the chat room. The criticism he levels in the blog post is that Overcast is free, but you've got to pay up to $5 for the in-app purchases. But then I realized today by doing a little more searching that Overcast has released version 2 now, and all those in-app purchases are now free. So right. If you're looking for a really good podcast app at the moment, it does things like it cuts out the silence in podcasts. You can speed up the voice and all that sort of thing. But an app that used to be free within that purchase, all the features are now free. And it's, I've enjoyed the Apple podcast app, but this is a lot cleaner, a lot nicer, a lot more enjoyable, and won't cost you a penny.
I've moved across to Overcast myself this week. It's, it's one of the best things I've done. Really, really good. Although it is obviously quite contentious at the moment, the pricing model, if you've been following on Twitter over the last 24 hours. So I'm sure that may be on the Mac show tomorrow.
Go on. So tell us more.
What's the contention?
Well, the contention is that because Marco Arment, who's obviously the developer for Overcast, because he's been able to let it go out for free, and basically anybody can donate on a 1 month, 3 month, 6 months, a certain amount, like a patronage sort of donation, young indie developers are feel as though he's pushing them out on account of the fact that he's able to sustain himself and have a free app go out there. It's absolute arse, but it's if you check Marco Arment's tweet feed over the last 24 hours, it's interesting reading.
Oh, and it was funny because I bought it for $5 when it first came out, and it's been the most useful app. It's well worth more than $5. So, I mean, you will always have a company from somebody. It's not like Marco woke up and wrote this app. I mean, he got Tumblr in his feet. He has lots of cred that took him years to build.
Absolutely.
And so he can afford to do it now. That's because he spent the time and did the work like you guys in your mom's basement eating ramen and struggle. He's past that struggle. And so now he can do whatever the heck he wants. Don't salt his game. And I'm not a huge fan of Marco. Sometimes I want to punch his lights out. But overall, you can't hate the man for what he's done. He's created some really great platforms, including some of the stuff that you're bitching about him on. So it's kind of funny. But yeah, to Overcast, amazing app. I've been using this since day one. Some of the best features is the ability for it to sync across all your devices. So if I'm in the bathroom on the iPad and I stop and I jump in the car and I want to continue listening to the Pocket, it's right where I left it, without too much fuss. And many apps say that they do that well, and almost none of them work. This one works flawlessly.
Exactly.
Completely agree.
And actually, when you get a new device and you log in, it'll grab all your podcasts that you had on it, put them back, and put them back where they were. That's even more impressive than just jumping from device to device.
That is
nice. Yeah. Good. Very good. My cool thing is a YouTube video. I had a work experience kid here last week, and he was great, lovely lad, but we were sitting talking about using green screens and blue screens, and why is a blue screen better than the green screen. And he said, that it's good technology this though, isn't it? I went, well, it's nothing new. And he's like, what do you mean? And it reminded me of a YouTube video that I had, and I had it listed in my favorites on my bookmarks. It's made by Film IQ. And it's basically a history of masking and keying to a certain degree, and the way that they've got to shoot against black backgrounds to then get and this is all of this film that I'm showing here was made in the 1920s and 30s, and it's keyed film in the truest sense of the word. And the thing blends through to a scene where they're surrounded by cars, etc., for their a couple of kissing, and it goes from them walking through surreal landscapes that are filmed and played behind them on a screen, and all of that is keyed work. And you'll have a watch of this, and you'll learn plenty about how it was done. It talks about the Invisible Man it's talking about now, and how they shot the colours on that so that it would they could key out the guy himself and then put the other stuff in to make sure that he looked like an Invisible Man and do the chase, the shirt chasing scene around everything. So have a watch of that. I've put the link in the chat, so britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Have a look for the links on Thursday the 15th of October, and you'll see the link to that video, and you'll enjoy it, I promise you. It's a really, really good little expose. You'll learn something. You'll definitely something. And it goes back to what's-his-face, the guy that... Did you see the Ben Kingsley movie of... Oh, what's the bloody hell's the bloke's name? The French chap who did...
He did Man in the Moon.
That's right. George Méliès. There we go.
Méliès.
Yeah, George Méliès. And there's a film by with Ben Kingsley in it about George Méliès, which is well worth watching. And also, he shows you how he did the four heads are better than one trick using panes that were masked out to show where the heads would go and then supplanted afterwards and overprinted. It's really, really good.
Did you see Hugo?
I did. There was Hugo. There was bits of it. I was kind of like, move on. I've had enough now.
Yeah, but still, overall, it was kind of cool how they spun this whole story around.
Yeah, it was.
Exactly.
Yeah. There we go. Good picks. Thank you so much, chaps. Now then, have you got your caricature done for the Wall of Shame? There's Dan Rodriguez. Thanks for him. If you'd like a caricature done, all you've got to do is get in contact with us at btncaricatures@gmail.com, and you will get your caricature done, and you will go on the Wall of Shame downstairs, and you get your original caricature. You get to use it as a Twitter icon. You can do whatever you like with it, and it's yours to keep. And they are very, very good caricatures. We've had all the team done now. There's a couple of people still we've got to get done, so we're slowly getting around to that. And you can go on the Wall of Fame with everyone there. Doc's on there, Jeff's on there, Lee's on there, I'm on there, Wrighty's on there, and you can be on there as well. So btncaricatures@gmail.com, send us an email, and we'll get your caricature arranged for you. It's well worth having. Where can we get a hold of you? Chaps, start us off, Mr. Garrett.
Okay, you can follow me on Twitter at MyProductiveMac, or you can visit my site, www.myproductivemac.com, where I write about how to be productive with your Apple devices and software, as well as other hints and tips to live a healthier, happier life.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much for coming along. And good connection tonight. Well impressed. Well worth the upgrade.
Hey, didn't drop off once.
No.
Or disconnect.
Jeffrey, where the hell are you?
I'm hanging out over at MacObserver.com. And at freshbrewedtales.com and what am I on Twitter? Jay Gamut, and then on a ton of podcasts, including here, and what else? The iOS show, TMO Daily Observations. Anyhow, I'm easy to find.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Doc, where are you, sir?
You can find me here twice a week on the BTN network, including tomorrow morning at 30 in the morning.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Anywhere on the internet at DOCROCK. I can't even speak English. Holy crap.
No worries, mate. And last but by no means least, Wrighty Boy, where are you?
At all of us on Twitter, mate, and always, always BritishSetNetwork.com.
Excellent, mate. You can get Nigel, who's trying to show me something here, and I don't want to show you it. You can get Nigel at Faded Red, not Pink, on Twitter if you want to bug him for more information. Yeah.
That's a joke about your shirt too, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it is. Yes.
Yes. Don't ask me why I remember that, but I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. It was a shirt incident.
Hey? Okay. Sorry, man. it's been a long day. My name is Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan on Rankin on Twitter. Thanks to Carol for sending in the picture. That's made my day and everyone else's. We'll see you again next week, and we'll hear for the Mac Show tomorrow. Thanks ever so much for listening. See you soon. You bastard.
That was awesome.